I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that had gone astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his. In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again, while angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang.
Okay, thank you all for being here on Thanksgiving Eve. Know how many were going to make it, but we got a nice turnout. I'm thankful for that. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And does anybody have anything special we need to be in prayer for anyone in our congregation?
My brother has gone back to the hospital for 3 days off.
Well, that's not planned. Okay. Have they been able to calm the pain down?
Yes, they have. And they're just waiting for things to get back to working.
Okay. Okay. We'll definitely be in prayer. All right. Thank you. Yes. I don't know about praying anybody going to Tulsa. No, we'll definitely be in prayer. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you see any of my friends there, tell them I said hi. Very good. Yeah. have friends in Alabama, Tulsa. And now that Gigi's gone, I don't have any friends in New York. Did you have your hand up? Okay. Any other prayer requests? Okay. We'll be talking about prayer and all in regard to Thanksgiving, so let's move into our study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the freedom we enjoy in this country. The freedom to assemble ourselves without fear, without worry. We can study as we see and guided by the Holy Spirit and dealing with your word. And right now we value that freedom. And Father, we pray now that your spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see on this memorable Thanksgiving Eve. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, now we've seen last 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, taking advantage of the mercy of God. And we studied three ways we need to take advantage of the mercy of God. One is prayer, witnessing, and hope. Now, tonight, tomorrow, let's concentrate on prayer. We have seen we need to be an intercessory prayer for the president-elect, Trump, and then the vice president-elect, Mike Pence. But also we need to be in prayer right now for Obama, and I'll tell you why. Hal Lindsey on Friday night pointed out a very important political move that he could make. Now for 8 years, well, almost 8 years, Obama has voted in the UN against recognizing Palestine as a Palestinian state and Jerusalem as their capital. And that's the only reason it has not passed in the UN is because the UN, the United States has voted it no. Now, in the 2 months left, Obama can change his vote. And if he goes over there and changes that vote and they recognize the Palestinian state and Jerusalem, there is nothing that Trump can do to reverse it, because it will take a whole lot of countries to go against reversing that vote. So we need to be in prayer that God the Holy Spirit will work on the restraining ministry on Obama in that respect, because that's very, very important. And this all centers, as far as I'm concerned, on Israel and the Jews over there. Now, God has a plan for Israel, and that plan is going to go into the final 7 years promised, the 490 years, 383 fulfilled, 7 years left. That'll be 7 years ending the time period given to Israel. And it's a heck of a last 7 years. Your last 7 years are called tribulation. That's not very good. But we recognize these 7 years as the period of tribulation. And in the middle of it, great tribulation. But they are technically the last of the last seven years God has promised Israel. And God is faithful. He's going to do that. Then they're going to get a new contract of 1,000 years of the reign on the throne of David. And that will be Jesus Christ's reign in the millennium. So we know that this time frame is still to go on. So we need to be in prayer for the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit on Obama, be in prayer for Trump, for Pence, and the decisions that they have to make. And so just we need to be constantly in prayer. But tonight, I want to concentrate on another type of prayer, Thanksgiving. First, understand that Thanksgiving is an attitude in the soul. It comes from an attitude toward God. Thanksgiving starts with you. Have you ever done many things for someone, family, friends, church, whatever, and you finally reach a point where you just feel unappreciated, unappreciated and taken advantage of? Well, people, we don't want this to happen to our relationship with God. where you reach, he reaches this point after all I've done, and Israel still acts this way, therefore the Babylonian captivity. And this kind of thing can happen. So you want to remember it. I'm going to be talking about it in a spiritual realm, but you want to remember it in a physical realm, in your family, your friends, your church, your work. Thank you. And mean it. Because Thanksgiving begins with you. And there are a lot of things, we like to say everything begins with God. But a lot of things begin with us. My favorite verse in the Bible, I was talking to Wes Tuttle, I told him my favorite verse is Isaiah 26. And in verse 26, God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So it first depends on us, keeping your mind stayed on him. Then God will act. So, and so it is with Thanksgiving. It begins with you and your attitude, your view of God, your understanding that you are in need of something that only God can provide. I think one reason many people are not thankful to God is that they do not need something from God. Too often in our society, they're getting it from the government. Government, give to me. Take care of me. Take care of my, or my parents. I know a lot of people, their parents have got to take care of them. It's your responsibility to take care of me. No, it isn't. No, it is not. It's their responsibility to get you to a certain point in life and then shut the door, and you're on the other side of that door, and you just keep on going. But a lot of young people today, oh, it's my mom and dad's responsibility to take care of me. It's the government's. It's somebody's job to take care of me. And a multitude of people today think it's the government's responsibility to take care of them, give them government housing, government education, government health, government government welfare. And it's the government's job to do these things. That's the condition America's gone to. And we're not appreciative. You owe me. I don't have to say thank you. You owe me. See? We don't say thank you and we do our work and our boss gives us a check. Now, maybe if you're on a personal basis, you do. But by and large, they work for a company, they give you a check. You don't, well, thank you so much. No. You work for it. Work, pay, works out. But Thanksgiving is an attitude. It is an attitude. And these people are very thankful. They're thankful to the government, and they're thankful to the Democrats, and they'll vote for the Democrats, and that's why the Democrats do it, to make them that way. So this is where we're going to talk about tonight, thankful to God. This attitude comes, first of all, from realization of our own personal needs, material, sometimes physical, sometimes mental, emotional, spiritual, medical, educational, these things. So first, realization of our own needs. In the spiritual realm, it starts with the realization after death. What? So we turn to God. Nothing I can do about when I die. When I die, it's over. See? That's why a lot of controlling freaks don't want to die, because they have to give up that control. Nothing we have control over when we die. So I've got to turn to you, God. You can do something about what happens after I'm dead. So, and now what happens here, and this is an unfortunate thing. I'm just talking about reality. This is when a lot of people will go to a church. Maybe a church that their parents went to, a church that their friend goes to, or whatever. So they go to a church, and now it gets messy, whatever that church teaches. And they have to find out what God desires to give for me, for him to give me eternal life, to give me this blessing. And so different denominations, different lists of what you have to do. Different pastors, different lists on what you got to do. From tithing to rituals of baptism, the Ten Commandments, and so forth. And few teach. I'm sorry. If we took the span of America, north, south, east, west, few pastors teach it's by grace alone in faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, faith alone in God alone. So many preachers have something you've got to do. It's not by grace through faith. It's by me doing something, and then God will do for me. And that's what they look for. What does God want me to do that I can then do it, and then God will bless me? So they go to a church, and the church doesn't teach the truth, but that's what they think it is, and so they're hooked into the works. Now, if they have a right attitude, I think a lot of times these people will eventually run into a grace believer somewhere. Maybe in a church, at work, in a club, golf course, wherever. And I've heard so many stories over my life of people that finally heard the truth. And this is a true story, you mean I've been given all this money and I didn't have to? I've been given all this money. I bought the glass stains and the stained glass windows in our church, and I bought this and I bought that, and I didn't have to. It's by what you're calling grace. See? There's a mob. But this is the whole issue. If you're teaching faith. So most people give thanks to God, responding to what they do. I do this, you do that, and I thank you for that. That's not the thanks that God wants, people. That's not the blessing that God is looking for to give. And so you can see how thanksgiving to God can really get all messed up as far as what is actually going on and what is wrong. Now, in the same respect, God actually told Israel that he did not want. I love the passages. I don't want your sacrifices and your offerings. That's pretty heavy for a group of people who's got to go all the way back to Moses with the law and all Leviticus and things you got to do. And God says, I don't want it. I don't want your offerings. I don't want your sacrifices. See? So there are definitely times and circumstances where God says, I don't want your thanksgiving. You're not thanking me for the right thing in the right way. So let's get a few things straight about thanksgiving to God. First, recognize your needs and what you're thankful for. Then understand and know God. So first, recognize your needs and what you're thankful to God for. Then understand and know God, why he gives all that he gives. And it's always based on his grace and his love. And it is not always given on the basis of faith. So often we receive from God what we've not even asked for. That's when it's amazing. Not even asked for it. So we haven't let our needs be known to him. But the people he knows. And often he gives us things that we haven't even asked for. And out of his wisdom and love and grace and mercy, he gives. Now often he does it in responding to our faith. But I'm just pointing out, you got to know God in this whole area of thanksgiving. But of course, there is the interrelationship with God where he responds to our prayers and our faith. To begin with, our needs and is dependent upon our knowledge of God. People, that's why I keep repeating this, and I'll probably continue it as long as I'm pastor. And that is where in Colossians 1:9, continue to increase in the knowledge of God and be filled with the knowledge of his will in spiritual wisdom and understanding. Colossians 1:9-10. And verse 6, understand the grace of God in truth. Those are amazing. If we think about it, I didn't emphasize it this way when we studied it, but think about it. Colossians 1:9-10, and then verse 6. 9 and 10, continue to increase in the knowledge of God. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Be filled with the knowledge of his will in spiritual wisdom, not in your wisdom, and understanding. And then in verse 6, understand the grace of God in truth. Not as you like to think about it, but in truth. What is grace? And people, let me encourage you tonight. Start giving thanks tonight and tomorrow that God has revealed himself. Think if God had not revealed himself. Think if we didn't have this book. Where would we be? We have a God who has revealed himself to us through his word. Give thanks. But at the same time, realize it's up to us individually to make an effort to find a pastor teacher who studies and teaches the word of God and then continually be there to learn and grow in the knowledge of God. It's a whole mechanism of working here. But it starts with God has revealed himself in his word. And there are a lot of people very proud of their Christian life. They don't go to church where the word is taught consistently, faithfully. Oh, I've got it down. I got this. I think one of the worst things is to grow up where you learn some things and think you've got it all figured out. John Henson, I have a pastor. He's home with the Lord now. But we were just shocked. We went to his church in another state, and he just said, I've learned all I need to know. I've learned all there is to learn, and I'm just riding out my time now teaching things I already know. And John and I got in a car and left. We just couldn't believe it. I mean, every day John and I see different new things in the Word of God. And it's just so much fun for me listening to Kit talk about Zephaniah. I mean, he'll study more and about six weeks later, oh, I found something new in verse 2. Verse 2, that's where you were 6 weeks ago. And but that's the joy of this book. I could say several lifetimes and still be learning. You never learn too much. And so, Thanksgiving begins. I understand my need. And then two, of all that God does and that he has done and that he's going to do and that he will do for me. See, this is where it begins. This is realized by examining the Greek word thanksgiving. And I should have gotten this overhead up here, but let me just see if I can talk with you about it. This is realized by the Greek word itself. The Greek word is eucharistia. Let me spell it out for you, and you can write it, and then I'll work with you. E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-I-A. Now, there's a lot going on with this. This is from the word Eucharistos. E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-O-S. Now, the thing about these words is that E-U at the beginning, that E-U means well. Well. Charizomai, to give freely. Now, here's what's beautiful about this rich word. It comes from the root word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. That's the word for grace. Which is, by the way, from another word, charo, C-H-A-I-R-O, which means to rejoice. Which means to rejoice. Which means thankful or grateful. Gratitude for God for something he's doing is a very rich word. As you think of this word, it involves the grace of God. It involves God giving. And it involves us giving thanks joyfully. Joyfully. You can't even hold it back. You cannot hold it back where it is. And it can't be manufactured where it doesn't exist. So if you have joy in your soul, you can't hold it back. If you have thanksgiving in your soul, you can't hold it back. And if it's not there, he doesn't want it. It isn't worth having. Okay. Let's go to point 3. Thanksgiving is required of every believer. Thanksgiving is required of every believer. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to start now going through the Word of God. It's a Bible class. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No, four simple things. Four simple things. First, give thanks. Now, it's for every believer. Whether you want to or not is beside the point. You do it in the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you'll want to. Now, the next thing, point two, is something interesting. In everything, or for everything. Wow. You know, I really don't have a whole lot to be thankful for. Well, yes, you do. I'll be talking about that in a moment. Three, and this is important. This is the will of God. What's the will of God for my life? What's the will of God for me? To give thanks for everything. I can tell you for certain that His will is for us to give thanks to Him for everything. Good things that happen, bad things that happen, give thanks. And the fourth, this is His will in Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is not designed for the unbeliever, for the unbeliever refuses to believe in Jesus Christ. This is designed for the person who has believed in Christ. It is the will of God, if you're a believer in Christ, to give thanks to God for everything. Look at Colossians chapter 4. It'll be some time before we get there, so let's take a look at it. Colossians chapter 4. Go back a book or two. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2. Devote yourselves. I started to spend some time on that, but I decided to let it go. It just means daily devotion. Devote yourselves into prayer. To prayer. And people, this isn't just talking about while you're driving down the street. It's talking about all the time. When you wake up in the morning, during the day, at night, this is what it means to devote. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keeping alert in it. So you don't want to be falling asleep and praying to God. You want to keep alert what you're asking God. Pay attention to whom you're talking with. Pay attention. You're talking to God. You know, it's familiarity breeds contempt. And it does that with God. I've learned this on a personal basis. I have to be very careful. I could be rambling along or not paying attention, talking to my wife, and she just looks at me like, what are you saying? I go, uh-oh, I've just been drifting off. People, don't do that with God. Don't do that with God. Keep it alert. And then it says, with an attitude of thanksgiving. That should be our attitude. All right, let's go to point four. There are a few requirements for bona fide thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that is acceptable to God. First, it must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, from a grateful heart. A grateful heart. Five, we are to give thanks for all things. And that's tough. That's tough. I just wrecked my car. I've got cancer. Somebody I love has problems. Whatever it may be, for all things. We just saw it in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. But look at Ephesians 5:20 for a very important verse. Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks, not just on Turkey Day, every day, giving thanks. Now, I'm afraid I would like to say it has to do with spiritual maturity, but I'm afraid sometimes it's just old age. I thank God every time I make it from point A to point B in the car. If I get there, I thank you. I do. I'm not making this up. I thank you, Father, I got here safely. No ticket, no wreck, no anything. I thank God for my health. Thank God I woke up this morning. I just find him thanking him a lot. Things that I just took for granted years ago. Well, of course I'm going to get from point A to point B. Of course I'm healthy. But as you get older, and I'd like to say it's spiritual maturity, but I think it's old age. Just thank you. Thank you, Father. But so don't wait till you're old. Always giving thanks for all things, good, bad, and indifferent, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. So thanksgiving is addressed to God. It's under the authority and position that we have in Christ. We give thanks for all things. Let's note a few things about this verse. One, always giving thanks, even if you don't understand. Even if you don't understand. What if Trump had lost? Would you give thanks? What if Hillary Clinton had won? Would you give him thanks? Where do you give thanks? He doesn't ask for understanding. That's one of the most interesting things about my job. I spend my time in that office studying the Word of God. And one of the things that comes to mind all over and over, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. God doesn't want you to understand things. I don't understand why things are happening, but he does. So I thank him. I don't have to understand. I have to trust him and thank him for it. So his plan is in progress. And we may not understand his plan, but it's his plan. And people, this becomes a powerful asset when you're dealing with health, death, trauma, and life. I don't understand what you're doing, Father. But I trust you. I trust you. And I give you thanks. Now, you may not want to tell others you're giving him thanks because they wouldn't understand. As long as you understand what you're doing between your own relationship with God, you may not want to tell somebody who's lost their husband, their wife, their child, their parent, that you're giving thanks. Between you and God, you know what you're doing. You don't have to tell anyone else. Tell him. Secondly, for all things. Again, we may not understand what is going on, but we are to have an attitude of thanksgiving of what God is doing, of his purpose. And we do this in the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how God can turn seemingly bad things into wonderful blessings, people. I'll talk to you as a pastor of this assembly. It crushed my heart that we had to lose Wes Tuttle from playing. But I tell you what, I immediately went into prayer. Okay, Father, turn this into a blessing for this assembly. I don't know how you're going to do that. I have no idea, and I'm not even going to propose to tell you. Not even suggest it. I don't want to get in your way. Turn it to a blessing for this assembly. Because right now it doesn't look like one. But you can do that. And I thank him that he could do that. See? Always giving thanks for all things. And then three, in the name or the authority of Jesus Christ, our Savior, his Son. Don't forget that. This is his Son. You know, sometimes if you go to the Son, you'll get what you want from the old man, the Father. That's our case with Jesus Christ. He is in such good with the Father, go to him, to the Father, through the Son. That's what we're doing. You have to understand the intimate relationship between God the Father and his Son, that our thanksgiving comes through or on account of his Son. And I know that, Father. And his Father listens. Four, to God. Thanksgiving is addressed to God the Father. This does not minimize Jesus Christ. Please remember, this is why Jesus Christ came to earth, to bring us to the Father. That's why he came to earth. He is our Father because of our relationship with Christ. We share the sonship of Christ. Some people, I pray to Jesus. And I think, that's what the Bible says. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. Just tell you it's not what the Bible says. Pray to the Father. Thanksgiving to the Father. Remember that all things, that all through the Old Testament people, they didn't pray to God the Father. Now, they knew him as Father. There are passages that clearly teach that. They never prayed to him as Father. But once his Son came down and took the form of humanity, we can now pray and call him Father because of our relationship with his Son. Give thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and then Ephesians 5:20 we just looked at. All right, let's look at Colossians. Coming up in our study of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17. Look at Colossians 3, 17. Now this one gets personal. 3:17 of Colossians. Whatever you do in word, that's in whatever you say, or deed, that's what you do physically, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, there goes sins. There goes a lot of things that I've said. And there it does. Do it in the name, the authority, and the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Giving thanks through him, Jesus Christ, to God the Father. Again, thanksgiving is addressed to the Father. That's the one that we're thankful to. It's his plan. All right, that brings us to point six. Now, here's one that may have escaped you. Here's one that may have escaped you. Give thanks for one another. Give thanks for your husband and wife. Give thanks for your parents, your children, church, fellow believers. I am convinced the things that you continually give thanks for are the things you will value. If you don't value, if you don't give thanks for the church, you don't value it. If you don't thank God continually for your husband and wife, it's no big deal to you. Things that you give thanks for, those are the things that are important to you. Those are the things that matter. See? And I'll just tell you right now, you know, often, Jerry Weber will call and we'll talk, and he tells me to express to you that he has an access to the studies of the Word of God because of you, because you'll come and listen. I can teach it. He gets it. And therefore, he is thankful for you in his prayers. And that's without me even doing this kind of a study. He is thankful for you that he gets to study on the Word of God. People, I give thanks for you. When I sit and study, my prayers run a gamut. Sometimes I'll pray, okay, Father, I don't know where we're going to go on this, but if there's something that one person that will be there that needs to hear this, give it to me, just for one. If it's something that a lot need, give me that. Let me see the things you want me to say to this assembly, and I'm thankful that you're here and you want to learn. You want to learn the Word of God, and I'm appreciative. There are a lot of people that don't care about the breakdown of the Greek word for Thanksgiving. But I think some of you do. I think that's why you're here. The you, well, Chris, oh, grace, oh, faith, joy. This is beautiful. This is what grace is. This is what Thanksgiving is. An expression, a willful expression to God, overflowing with joy for his grace to me. So There are many passages that remind us to be in prayer for one another. Let's just note a couple. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1. We've already studied this, so we'll just read through it. 1 Thessalonians 1. Now, while this is said of Paul, and it applies to all pastors, but it applies for all of us. Pray for one another. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. More than just giving thanks, but intercessory prayer for them. Verse 3, constantly bearing mind while in prayer, your work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, even Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you. These are things we give thanks for, that God has elected you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only. Now He gives thanks for their response to the gospel, but also in power, even in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you and for your benefit. Verse 6, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, have received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. People, this is unbelievable to give thanks for these people and to be able to go through it, elucidate on it. Give thanks for each other in this assembly. Give thanks to the Langston. He's having to fight cancer right now. Give thanks for him. We don't pay him. We should pay him a lot. I told him one time, the reason we don't pay you is that we couldn't pay you enough to what you should deserve, so therefore we're going to give you anything. And he kind of looked at me like, wait a minute. But he's fighting his own problem with cancer. And then, just think about that. James, people, he didn't pay for printing up our Sunday messages for you. Now, I try to get it to him on Thursday, but I'll tell you right now, there have been times I've gotten it to him on Saturday. And bless his heart, he doesn't say a word. He just gets to work. And he goes through it, his masterful way of doing things. Sometime I ought to show you what I would have given you and what he gave you. And so you'll appreciate what he's done. And then his singing and his things in that regard. Brian Cooper. Brian Cooper. Let me tell you something about Brian Cooper. Give thanks for him. Nobody wanted to come up here and lead singing. Everyone was tired of my leading it, but nobody wanted to come up and do it. See? Brian said, all right, I'll do it. And I'm so thankful for him. I thank God for him a lot. Not just now, a lot. Julie Cooper, his wife. Kit, over here working on this silly thing. Man, I'll tell you what. That's a monster job that Julie, Jim Langston, and Kit have to deal with over there. Give thanks for them. Give thanks for them. Give thanks for those who clean the church. Give thanks for those who come. People, you don't know. I don't know the tribulation some people go through to get here. I don't know. I wonder sometime. There used to be a guy, Pete was his name. Pete, it doesn't matter. But I'll tell you, bless his heart, he would travel all over the world. His job was at big world events, Olympics and things. He handled all of the food. And he get the people, everything going. And I'll tell you what is the funniest thing. Sometime he'd walk in over in Willow Spring Valley, and he just looked like he was beat up. I mean, he'd just come in, his shirt would be over, and he's just a small guy. And he just said, boy, you look like you've been beat up. He said, I have. And but he would be there when he was in town. It was just, I don't know what go through some people's souls to get here. Marital problems, family problems, home problems, financial problems, physical problems, mental problems, emotional problems, all these things. I don't know. I'm thankful you make it. I'm thankful you come. Thankful for all of you. See? And that's what we want to do. We want to be in prayer for each other. Just be in prayer. I'm thankful that kid picks up Rich, brings him in. See? Rich has a motorcycle, but I don't know, it's too risky for him to be out on that motorcycle. But it's just amazing. I'm thankful for Gigi. Gigi first started coming. I met him, how many years ago did we meet over there on Eucalyptus? What, has it been that long? Boy, you've grown old. And Gigi and I, it was really interesting. I taught a group of men. He was the only one that caught it. He was the only one that caught on to what was going on. And I give thanks for Gigi all the time. Give thanks for Ed Lacey. He comes in, works with Chris Daig and with the young people. Oh, I'm just so thankful. And then Steve, well, I'm not going to tell you how, because it's not very church-like, but Steve had a lot to do with Judith coming back to this assembly. And didn't it? When that blue thing fell?
Oh.
And it's just amazing. And then Phil and Pat. Just very thankful for Phil and Pat. He's Phil's in for us when and I'm got to be gone or something, and it's just amazing. And Eve, God, I've always loved you. I always loved you and love having you here. And every time I drive through Sherman, I think of you and the college and all. That's a hard school, I've come to find out. So, my goodness. All right. But, so this is what we're dealing with. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 13, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, the gospel, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performed its work into you who believe, that is salvation. Salvation. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1. We've studied all of these. That's why they're on my mind. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 and 4. We ought always to give thanks to God for you. That's my motto with you. When I go into that office and sit down to study, I thank God for you. That I have some people that want to hear the truth. Brethren, believers, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, the areas of your faith, and the love which each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecution and afflictions which you endure. Okay, point 7. We're to give thanks to God for his answers to prayers and needs. I think one of my most favorite verses in the Bible that I learned many, many years ago in church, look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And if you don't know this one, put it on your refrigerator door. See, I didn't say icebox. Put it on your refrigerator door. Yeah. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, the first thing I want you to note is that word for. Be anxious for nothing. There is no preposition in the original manuscripts. It simply says, nothing, be anxious. Now, why did I point that out? Because people, it's not for or in. So I can say, be anxious in nothing. Be anxious for nothing. This covers everything. There is no preposition. This covers everything in life. We're not to be troubled about politics, wars, what's happening in America, moral decline, not about anything in our own lives, finance, health, marriage, and so on. Nothing, be anxious, worried about, troubled about, SAD, stress, anxiety, depression. Now comes the question, why not? Why not? Things are falling apart. Why shouldn't I be anxious? Let's take a look. But in contrast to being anxious, in everything, that is especially in reference to those things you would be anxious about. Not just things, but in context, things that you would normally be anxious about. If you're not anxious about these things, people, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you're not anxious about things, those close to you, around you, are going to think you don't care. So you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful with your peace that's in your soul, with not being anxious, because people are going to misunderstand you. They're going to think you just don't care. No, I care very much. I care very much. Just over a period of time, I've learned not to be anxious. Not to be anxious. By prayer and supplication. Okay, what's the difference between prayer and supplication? First, note the conjunction translated and, which seems to be saying by prayer and by supplication. Now, very quickly, let me just tell you something about this conjunction. It's chi, K-A-I. People, it covers 4.5 columns in the Greek lexicon. 4.5. 1, 2, 3, 4.5. One little three-letter word, chi, translated generally and. It has so many different ideas and different things that go with it. It conveys many different meanings. Here, emphatic, or specifically. By prayer, specifically, supplication. This Greek word, supplication, describes a certain category of prayers. The Greek word means to make known one's particular need. That's because of that one Greek word. To make known one's particular need. In classical Greek, it was used of a prisoner request for freedom, as well as given to deities in classical Greek. It means more than just a simple request. So here in Philippians 4, it refers to a category of prayer where we make known to him specific supplications of things that really are out of the norm for us. Nothing. Be anxious. But in contrast, in everything, things that would normally make you anxious, in everything, by prayer, especially supplication. Now, note what our mental attitude should be in these difficult times. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. People, let me tell you something. On one hand, I hope it never happens to you. On the other hand, I hope it does. When you're in a position where all you can say is, Father, all I can really thank you for now is that I can come to you, because I have nothing else in my mind to give thanks for. But I thank you that I can come to you, the sovereign, omnipotent God, with what's going on in my life. And therefore, I thank you. And people, let me tell you something when you say that. No matter how heavy your heart is, when you say thank you, there's a calmness that comes over your soul. As you start your prayer, you're full of anxiety, and you calm down, get into the Holy Spirit, and you give thanks. And when you can give thanks for something, you know what? I don't have any reason to be anxious. I have no reason to be stressed, anxiety, depressed, worried, fearful. I give thanks to you, God. And when you can give thanks to God, regardless of what's going on, it takes your mind off of whatever the circumstances may be as far as your life is concerned. When you let God know your supplications with thanksgiving, you're going to experience something that happens in your soul. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 7. Philippians 4, 7. Coming off of what we just said. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And now we have the resultant use of that guy. See this? This is a result of giving thanks to God. And now, and then, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. People, when there's trouble in your life, your soul, and your circumstances, whatever it is, just calm down and give thanks to God and mean it in the power of the Spirit. And the result is going to be this, peace. How can I be anxious, stress, anxiety, depression with something I'm just thanking Him for? You can't. And the Holy Spirit will pour peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. People, if everything's going well, you don't know if that peace and that joy is from God. But when you have that peace and that joy, when you shouldn't, then you know it's from God. I think it's from God, but you know what? I'm not sure. Everything's going so well. Everything's going really good. But when it's not going good, and you experience that peace, you experience that joy, you know where it's coming from. It's coming from Him. Point 8. We have been studying how to take advantage of the mercy of God in prayer, witnessing, and hope. Okay, under that second one, witnessing, we are to give thanks to God every time an unbeliever believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. Look quickly at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, your benefit. All things that happen for your benefit. So that the grace which is spreading to more and more people. Now what is that? That's the grace of the gospel. More and more people are believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. May cause, that's our response now, to the spreading of the gospel in this country, in your life, the giving of thanks to abound, to increase, to the glory of God. So the more people are saved, causes us to rejoice and thank Him more. Point 9. We're running out of time. Point 9. A local assembly of believers should be known for giving thanks. And a local assembly of believers should be known for giving thanks. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4, if you're writing it down. Ephesians 5, verse 3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not be named among you as is proper among saints. Now, that doesn't mean those things are proper among saints. It means it is proper that these things not be mentioned. Got to be sure how you read the Bible there. Verse 4, and there must be no filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks to God. Point 10. Thanksgiving is a result of all blessings God gives you. Thanksgiving is a result of all blessings God has given you. Look at Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So it begins with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him that is in His Word, Bible doctrine, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Often when I'm through studying, I thank God for what I just found out, what I've just seen. Now, I want to close with getting ready for tomorrow. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to give thanks for all kinds of food. Whatever you may be eating. See? Whether it's turkey, chicken, barbecue, or bologna. Ham, whatever it is. Spam. Ugh. Okay. 1 Timothy 4:3. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gracefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Verse 4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. So just say thank you and dig in tomorrow. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and by prayer, specifically prayer of thanksgiving. Let's close with Psalm 36. Yes. If it's spam's what's put in front of me, all right. If that's all there is, can I have an egg with it to kind of smother it out? Psalm 36. This will be our closing prayer. Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and hatred of it. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to be good. This isn't the one I wanted. No, this is not it. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Had a beautiful psalm on Thanksgiving, and just take the things we've seen tonight in regard to Thanksgiving. Be thankful tonight. Be thankful tomorrow. Be thankful every day in your life for the grace of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. We are thankful, Heavenly Father. We're thankful for so great a salvation. We've just been studying on this night, Isaiah 53, all that it cost you and it cost your Son for us to be saved eternally. We're so thankful. Father, we're thankful for the blessings that you've given us in life. Our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents, each other in this assembly. Just having this assembly, Father, we thank you. And Father, we pray now that you'll take the things we've seen tonight. Your Spirit will use these things to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
We look for 136. Thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his loving kindness is everlasting.
That's it. That's it. Psalm 136, we're through praying, but let's go to look at it real quick. Psalm 136. Now, this isn't the one I was thinking about, but it's beautiful. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love is everlasting. Give thanks to God, to the God of gods, for his love is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his love is everlasting. People, have you ever just really needed his love? day in and day out, we really don't think we need it. But boy, when you really need it, this passage is important. When you've hit the road, hit the wall, this is when it becomes important. Verse 4, to him who alone does great wonders, for his love is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, his love is everlasting. To him who has spread out the earth above the waters, for his love is everlasting. To him who made the great lights, for his love is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, his love is everlasting. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his love is everlasting. You can read the rest of it. So I wish you all a very happy day tomorrow, regardless of what you experience. I hope that it's a wonderful day of Thanksgiving for you.